I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello.
Podcast Network Asia.
This podcast is powered by Podcast Network Asia. For more information on the shows and the network, visit podcastnetwork.asia and Podmetrics, the only analytics you'll ever need for your podcast. Sign up for free at podmetrics.co and use my referral code RJ Ledesma.
If you can discover what your purpose, why are you setting up that business? What is it in you that the business completes, or you know, completes in you, or define, helps you define or find your identity? Then it will give you the spirit, you know, it will give you the passion to continue on despite many challenges and obstacles and perseverance. And you'll discover a lot about yourself. And okay, oh, maybe one last takeaway is, the true character of a person is tested during adversity and circumstances. And this I can share with you from personal experience.
Hello and good evening. Welcome to the RJ Ledesma podcast. In my podcast, I interview the country's pioneering business personalities and entrepreneurs and learn more about how they think about business, what are their success secrets, how they have innovated their businesses during this pandemic, and more importantly, what opportunities do they see emerging in the new, or what some people are now calling, the better normal. Now, is there a business personality or entrepreneur that you would like me to interview here on the podcast? Please let me know. Drop me a message. Just to let all of you know, we are also simulcast on Kumu, CBRC TV, and Global Pinas. Thank you to everybody for watching us on our other channels. Much, much appreciated. Now, tonight's a truly incredible story of one entrepreneur who has just recently raised $1 million in seed round from two venture capitalists for his social e-commerce platform called Reselli. Now, Reselli is a platform that provides sustainable and scalable zero capital online businesses to less fortunate Filipinos and helps them out, especially during this pandemic. Now, this person I've been wanting to talk to for some time, and we've got a very special announcement at the end of the podcast with regard to his project or his platform called Reselli. Please welcome the founder and CEO of Philippine-based social e-commerce platform Reselli, Mark Concho. Mark, thanks so much for joining us here on the show.
Hi, RJ. Thank you for inviting us to join, and good evening to all your viewers, all the viewers.
Thanks so much. I remember, Mark, the first time I actually saw you, very curious. I think it was in the sign-up event of a Go Negosyo event, is that right?
Yes, that's right. One of my friends invited me to be a mentor on the Go Negosyo event, so I said, why not? You know, it's related to my personal vision for myself.
And it's really helping the disenfranchised build their own businesses with what I call laway capital, basically.
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Mark, just a question. You know, the biggest point for me is like, that's $1 million that you were able to just raise in seed capital. How was it like for you? Bring me back to that day when you found that you had just were able to raise that type of money.
Well, of course, we're happy. I mean, it validates our business model, our concept, which is really to help a lot of Filipinos who are affected, you are unemployed or underemployed because of the pandemic. At the same time, I told the team, now the hard work now starts, because we really, we have no excuse. We got to grow and got to help more people right now because the funding's there.
And how long did it take you to actually raise that funding? How many sleepless nights did you have?
Well, it was actually two series. The first portion of the $1 million came in fourth quarter last year. And then the balance came in September.
Yeah.
So it was kind of tight for a few months. It was like, okay, we gotta hustle. We gotta do what it takes to keep Reselli running.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is people think, like, wow, it's not like, you know, you don't feel like, people initially think, right, when you hear like $1 million seed capital, you go, I'm in the money. That's what some people feel. But what's it really like when you get the money? You go, oh no, I got to use this money. Well, what is the feeling like when you found out?
Well, to be honest, you know, we were all expecting like $1 million. Wow, we'd be celebrating, big celebration. Well, you can't really do that right now with the lockdowns and everything, but it was more like, okay, so we've got the money in place. How do we fast track growth, and how do we get use the money to help more people, you know, to increase traction, help more people, etc. So it never really actually crossed our minds that, you know, we got to celebrate, it's a big deal and all that. Of course, you know, it kind of lessened the stress level. It's easier to work and to think, you know, when you don't have to worry about money too much to fund operations and everything.
And I'd love to know how it felt like right before you got the money. And I know for many startups over here, you're like, you're at the end of the rope, right? And then you're just waiting for that cash to hopefully trickle in or find an investor to come in. I would love to know how that felt like.
Well, personally, I wasn't that worried. Compared to before, because I've been through this situation before. We're in, me and my partner, Jason, we set up a company, e-commerce company, around 5 years ago, 2015. We were also able to raise around $1 million, you know, actually even more than $1 million. So, you know, that time you're so happy, wow, $1 million, you know, we got so much cash, you know, and then we started splurging left and right, you know, we had a really nice fancy office, we got really fancy equipment, developers, marketing left and right, and then, of course, you know, the money ran out. So that's when I was really super stressed. We didn't have even enough money to pay for payroll and stuff. And then I had to talk to our team members, our employees, and manage them. And, you know, a few of them even filed cases with SSS. And I spoke to them. I said, guys, I'm trying my best. And it's good. You know, we were lucky in the sense that our employees trusted us. So they withdrew the case, and then they gave us their trust, and we were able to manage to settle everything. That was stressful. So at that time, we raised the money, more than $1 million. We didn't have a working platform. We didn't have anything that Reselly has right now. So, you know, I mean, after coming from that experience, Reselly, you know, the stress from Reselly is much more manageable right now. And more importantly, we learned a lot of key lessons from our previous startup, which we're now able to apply. So right now, if you look at our office, it's a very small office. We're only paying less than, you know, 20,000 pesos a month. We can afford a more fancy one. You know, we negotiated our landlord. We didn't have to negotiate our landlord for, you know, lower rates, but, you know, coming from the previous experience, so, you know, we're more prudent about how we spend our cash now, our investments and everything. And another lesson that we learned also is not the true character of a person comes out when you have no options left, when a person becomes desperate, which I was when we had our previous startup, you know, 5 years ago. You don't have money for payroll. It's Christmas time. You're late on even their 13th month pay. You haven't paid their salaries yet. So it really stretches your resources. And because you're so stressed, you end up pointing fingers at everybody, you know, everyone except yourself. I was the CEO, president CEO also. So that is something that I learned. That was a good part of, you know, what happened to me. I started blaming everybody else because I couldn't accept the fact that I was responsible, you know, that the failure was really on me and me alone as president and CEO of Reselly. So hopefully with, you know, out of one network of our e-commerce startup before. So hopefully with Reselly now we're doing things better. We're learning from that lesson. And it's amazing. In a sense, it's like one thing I learned is, you know, when you pray, it's another story also. When you pray, when you look back, like what Steve Jobs said before, you end up connecting the dots. So in this case, it was like there's a purpose for me undergoing that traumatic experience in the previous e-commerce startup to help with the success of Reselly now.
Everything was prologue. That was just prologue to what Reselly was going to be right now in terms of your startup experience. And I'd really love to get into more about what you learned from one network in a bit. And I'm sure the other entrepreneurs and other startup founders who are listening would love to hear the same story as well. But before that, let's take a step back and tell me a bit more what Reselly is for people who might not be too familiar just yet. What's your elevator pitch for what Reselly is all about?
Well, it's a zero puhuna. It's a social e-commerce app. Okay. So what is social e-commerce? social e-commerce is a growing trend right now. As far as e-commerce is concerned, it's a business model. You have three kinds of e-commerce business models. You have the traditional marketplace model. Examples would be Lazada, Shopee, Alibaba, Amazon, wherein the buyer or a person has to go to their website or their mobile app to purchase things. Then you have the trader business model. As far as e-commerce is concerned, these are the carousels, you know, the eBays, etc. Then you have an up and rising e-commerce business model, which is social e-commerce. It's fairly new. It was pioneered by Pinduoduo 5 years ago in China. Mm-hmm. So for all those who don't know who Pinduoduo is, it's the fastest growing e-commerce company in China, and it's now number two. So when Pinduoduo was launched in China 5 years ago, everybody was laughing at them. How can you compete against the giants of e-commerce like JD, Alibaba, Taobao? You know, you're just, and amazing. Less than 5 years, they became number two. And at the rate they're growing, they might even overtake Alibaba and become number one.
Wow.
So what did Pinduoduo do? First was their business model is social e-commerce. So what's the difference between a marketplace e-commerce model and social e-commerce? In social e-commerce, a person leverages on his network of friends, on his social network like Facebook. In China, it's WeChat, to invite people to make transactions or purchases online. So In Pinduoduo, they focus on the group buy model, wherein a person invites his friends, hey, guys, join me to make a group buy, let's say, for a dozen apples. And then we get it at 50% off. So of course, you know, I need to get at least 10 of my friends to participate in this group buy. And then we get it at a big discount. So there are two things that Pinduoduo did very well. The linchpin of their strategy was one, social e-commerce. And second was focusing initially on fruits and vegetables. Why? Because the giants of e-commerce were weak as far as fruits. They were all focused on electronics, fashion, clothes, you know, traditional stuff that you see on a marketplace. Yeah. So that's what Pinduoduo did. So learning from Pinduoduo, that's what Reselli aims to do as well. Our spin is Pinduoduo's group buying. With Reselli, we're like all about livelihood. So with social e-commerce, some quick statistics, how this came about. Did you know that, I'm sure you know this, RJ, but for your viewers, did you know that Philippines is number one when it comes to use of social media? Average Filipino spends more than 5 hours on social media a day. We're number one in the world in social media usage. Number two, second statistic, Filipinos have the most friends on social media than any other country in the world. Okay, so that probably lends a truth to, you know, a lot of people are saying Filipinos are the friendliest people in the world. And it's shown, it's proven by the fact that we have the most friends also on social media.
That's why you say maybe social should be leveraged to, you can monetize social, right?
So we said, so how come, you know, if you look at China with Pinduoduo and Meesho in India is the fastest growing e-commerce company also in India, and their focus, their business model is social e-commerce. Why not the Philippines? We're number one in terms of social media usage, in terms of a number of friends on social media. So why did we turn this into an advantage, you know, into a income opportunity for the average Filipino? But then the key pain point being that most Filipinos have very limited capital. So that's where Reselli comes in. You just have to download their app, choose the products that you want to sell to add to your online store. It could be fruits, vegetables, clothes, shoes, electronic items. It's like you're having your own Divisoria or Green Hills. That's Jero Puhuna. And then share your store to your friends on social media. And then if somebody buys, we take care of everything from delivery, fulfillment, customer service, and you get your commissions.
And you get commissions. So how does
earn commissions.
How does the commission structure work?
The minute that somebody buys and pays for the order, 80% of the commission given by our merchants goes to the reseller.
I see.
And then we have a referral, a member get member programmer in. Let's say if I invited you to join my team on reselling, just like Pinduoduo's group buy, I get override commissions from you, RJ, from every purchase or sale that you make.
I see. So when you say social, no, I mean, the way that I'm listening to you right now, there are two things which come to mind. First, social because of the network, socialization aspect. But other people also think of social as social enterprise. You know, it's sort of like the models of rags to riches, where there's a combination of that. As you were doing it, you were also helping out a disenfranchised community or group Is that what it is actually? Is that what you did to Reselli, that it's actually both a social for socialization and a social enterprise at the same time?
That's correct, yes. And if I may share a story how that came about. When I was a kid, well, throughout my kid and teenager years, I always wanted to be a priest.
Okay.
Ah. Actually, I even entered the Jesuit seminary. And then the head of the seminarians at the time asked me, "Mark, have you ever had a girlfriend?" I said, "No, Father, because I really just want to be a priest. I'm not interested in girls." "Okay, Mark. Unfortunately, I can't accept you in the seminary right now. You have to go out in the world, experience having a girlfriend. And if you believe that your priesthood is still for you, you're always welcome to come back." So it took me around 4 years before I had my first girlfriend because I had no experience, you know, courting girls or anything. I didn't. So by the time I had my first girlfriend after 4 long years, and I decided, no, being a priest is not for me after all. But always in the back of my mind, my mentor asked me, Mr. Pagsi, you know, in high school, "Mark, why do you want to be a priest?" So I told him, "Well, Mr. Pagsi," and I was, what, 13, 14 years old at that time. "Mr. Pagsi, the reason why I be a priest is because I've thought about it. As human beings, we're never happy or truly satisfied with what we have. We say we'll have this nice house, this nice car, this hot girlfriend, hot boyfriend, kids, you know, live the life, you know, we can travel everywhere we want. And we always want something more. Then we get it, we always want something more. Because our souls are infinite. So the only thing that will truly satisfy us is that which is eternal. That is just like our souls, and that's God. That's why I want to be a priest." Fortunately, it didn't push through. So it's always been in the back of my mind. Next best thing is to set up a business that will help other people. Because, you know, I mean, if you look at it, we're probably going to live 80 to 100 years old, which is, compared to eternity, is just a very small speck. You know? So might as well prepare for that. So social, that's where the social enterprise aspect of Reselli comes in.
Spoken like a true man for others, I see. Very happy.
Trying to be.
And I like really sort of like the honesty of really bringing that to the fore, because this conversation also reminds me of my conversation with David Almiron of Multisys. You know, he said that he was raised in a, he was, you know, his father was an OFW, and, you know, he was raised by the pastor. And, you know, the way that it informs his business is that he doesn't really see people as competition or other people as competition. It's like, we must all collaborate. We must all work together. And if you see the project that he's been doing, it's the same thing. You see that, you know, he put up the Stay Safe app, you know, he put up another donation box app. So I can see the sort of spirit from you as well. So I just want to ask, like, for you, know, how is that what keeps you motivated strongly to do this one? Because it's not easy to do an app that is a social commerce app. Is that how strongly your prayer and faith life really influence your decision?
I wouldn't say my prayer and faith is strong. I'm still trying to reach that level. I'm not, you know, I'm far from the level for the kid I was, when, you know, I really just want to be a priest and focus on God and everything. So I'm far from that, struggling. But yes, it inspires me. If there's anything worth doing in your life, it's doing things because of God, you know, and offering it to God. Funny that you mentioned about, you know, Dave Almiron, and very inspiring guy. You're saying that, you know, it's all about helping other people, you know, networking to be able to help more people effectively. Just recently, so I was a bit stressed because we had some disagreements with my partners, okay? And I probably got this from my dad. I'm the kind of person, when I believe that I'm right, I stick to it. You know, I stick to my guns, and then it causes friction, you know. So my temper flares and all that. So it causes friction. Then I happened to read. So I tried to do Bible studies. I read a Bible verse. And it happened on the same day. That, you know, I kind of like, you know, had some friction with my partner. So I read. And in that Bible study, in that Bible verse, it was saying that don't go to church or to the temple and worship unless you've fixed your relationships with your brothers. So that's how important relationships are. It's even more important than going to church and worshiping God. God will not listen to you unless you fix your relationships. And he, in a way, it was like he was speaking directly to me. So that was amazing. So relationships are very important. If our purpose here on earth really is to, the greatest commandment is really love others as you love yourself. So it's really about relationships, about, you know, making sure that relationships you always preserve, you always, you know, focus on loving others, you know. over business, over finances, over business, you know, over everything else.
And then I like also how you said that. I don't know, this might sound a bit capitalist, you know, but I don't, not really, but for me, you know, I think I'm great with dealing with people and relationships, but I also like to think that, you know, your network is also your net worth. I mean, the more people that you're able to build networks with, that's why I work with Go Negosyo, that's why I work with different larger groups, because, you know, I want to understand their business, I want to help them, but at the same time, it also widens my ability to think about business, because you're dipping your fingers into different business models and you're able to understand them. If you want to do something, you do it through networks, especially here in the Philippines. Wouldn't you agree?
That's correct. Yes, I agree. I mean, Filipinos are the friendliest people in the world. You know,
so exactly. Exactly.
No, if you look at the extended families, we take care of our lolos, our lolas, you know, our cousins. Mm. If you go to your European countries, it's the other way. The minute you turn 18 years old, you're independent. You're gone. You know, you're not expected to take care of your parents, your grandparents, your cousins. You know, you're on your own.
Exactly. Now, I want to go back a bit more to discussing about Recently. Now, you were discussing about Pinduoduo, which is a Chinese app. Were you inspired because of that app? Because that's a legitimate model. Many of these apps, like Lazada, the rest, were developed from Rocket Internet, which is a European sort of like business, but that they started copying models from the US and Europe, which were successful, bringing it here to Southeast Asia. Was that what you did? You just looked at Pinduoduo, or did you think of it by yourself and say, oh, there happens to be something out there that I can look at and maybe I can emulate it a bit?
The Pinduoduo part came later on. You know, when you have a startup, you really have to pivot until you find the right product market fit. So when you started Recently, for example, we are focused, our products, SKUs, were focused on fashion, clothes, and electronic items, just like what you see in other e-commerce sites. And then, you know, we got feedback from our resellers. It's so hard for them to make to earn regular income. I mean, how many times in a year does a person buy clothes, right? Average Filipino, maybe once, twice a year, or electronic items. So then we started doing research, and then Pinduoduo came out. Said, oh, wow, you look at Pinduoduo, frequency of purchase. You know, I mean, people buy fruits and vegetables maybe once a week, so four times a month. It's something that people buy regularly. And it's something that we can use to our have a unique competitive advantage in. So in Recently, we guarantee the cheapest and freshest fruits and vegetables. Why? Because we work directly with farmers and farmers cooperatives. So if you place an order today before 12 in the afternoon, the fruit and vegetable that you order actually arrives from the farm to Manila 4 in the morning in our warehouse, 4 o'clock the next day, 4 o'clock in the morning, and we deliver it that day. So that's fresh, and we guarantee it's the cheapest. We do price checks every other day. We want that to be our unique competitive advantage, the cheapest and freshest fruits and vegetables, while, and most importantly, helping our poor fellow farmers.
So you're able to do this one. So this is really the pivot that you guys made initially when you saw Pinduoduo really making, you know, literally the low-hanging fruits for Pinduoduo were fruits and vegetables.
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
Wow. Now, having said that, I want to go a bit more back before Recently started. You know what? You know, I often ask many entrepreneurs, what's their secret origin? What got them started in entrepreneurship? And, you know, people like Jose Magsaysay Jomag, my business partner, and I think business partner of Jason as well, no? For some of his businesses, was he started off in Wendy's as a cashier, a janitor, you know, just to work his way up from that one over there. That's his background, and that helped inform how he became eventually the founder of Potato Corner and grew his business. How did you start off, Mark? Did you start off as an entrepreneur, or did you start off in the corporate world and eventually made your way into entrepreneurship?
Okay, I started in the corporate world by accident. Fresh out of college, me and my best friend, Victor, I've always dreamt of being an entrepreneur. I like reading books. That's one of my hobbies. So ever since I was a teenager or a kid, I'd always love reading about, you know, successful entrepreneurs. So fresh out of college, convinced my best friend, Victor, to set up a business called Bonsai Healthy Fast Food. The very first healthy fast food in the Philippines. This was 1997. Okay, so everything was made out of veggie meat, soy proteins. Imagine 1997, so you had veggie burgers and all that. So we were located in, previously it wasn't called Greenbelt, that mall before Greenbelt was there, okay? And it did fairly well, but not well enough to be profitable, just break even. So after 1 year, you know, we'd be there at like 6 in the morning, you know, we'd be cooking, bringing the stuff, the vegetables, the veggie meat and all that. and then staying there up to the time the mall closes at 9 o'clock, and then doing inventory management up to 10. We've been doing this for 1 year and we're not making money. Okay, we're just breaking even, just enough to pay the rent, employees. So maybe let's go back to the corporate world first. And let's see, maybe you can learn something there. So my best friend, Victor, he applied in PLDT, calls me one day, says, "Mark, you want to join me? I have a job interview at PLDT." So I said, "Okay," I joined him. And then he was interviewed first. The position was entry level, rank and file, associate market research specialist. And when he came out, he whispered to my ear, "Mark, whatever happens, just quote from the Bible and be humble." Why? So anyway, the interviewer called me in. Okay, so I went there. And then she said, "Mark, you don't have any experience. You're fresh out of college. You only have, why should we hire you?" And I said, "Well, ma'am, I don't have any experience, but I'm willing to learn. I'm a fast learner. I'll do everything it takes. I'll work hard, I promise you, if you give me a chance, etc." Then I quoted from the Bible. Okay, the Bible verse I said was something about planting seeds and making it grow. Then I was hired on the spot.
Okay, the Bible to the rescue again for you, Mark.
Oh, man. So connecting the dots.
Just the right time. Yes.
Yes. So I went out and then I said, "Victor, dude, what happened?" They said, "Pare kasi, the interview asked me, why should we hire you?" Then sabi ko, "Why shouldn't you hire me? I'm number one in sales in Globe Telecoms." And then he started citing all these achievements. So in Globe, he used to work for Globe before. And totoo naman, number one siya. Okay, he was number one. And then the interviewer started quoting from the Bible. He said, "Whoever exalts himself shall be humble." That's why I went without patay. So, yeah. And it's funny. I started associate market research specialist. And then after 1 year, this is 1999, there's a job opening. There's an opening for head of internet and future services. So I prayed about it. And I said, "Sana Lord, parang this sounds exciting, internet and futures." Remember, this is 1999. Everybody was on dial-up internet. And that internet That's was right. broadband. 1999. Nobody knew what broadband.
Nobody was yet broadband internet call, when you hear that.
Yeah.
For about 5 minutes. until you get a signal.
Signal. That's correct. So it was offered to all the managers, the senior managers, even a few AVPs to head that post. Nobody wanted to take it for some strange reason. Nobody wanted to take that post to head it. Why? Because broadband, is that's such a niche. Everybody's thinking at that time was, broadband is not going to grow. It's going to be such a niche. Everybody's on dial-up internet. It's PLDT at that time, their bread and butter, the core business was long distance, IDD, landlines and all.
Wow, so that sounds like a long time ago. My God.
Exactly. So naglakaslob ako. I mean, I just started in PLDT, just there for like 10 months. I was just really entry level assistant associate research specialist. That's how entry level it was. I went up to the vice president, head of marketing, John. I said, "Sir, I know that there's an opening for head of internet and future services. I know it's a managerial position, but if you give me a chance, I promise you, I'll do my best. I won't let you down. I'll do whatever it takes to make it successful. And he probably saw something in me and he gave me the spot.
Wow.
I was a one-man team for like 2 years. I didn't have any assistants, nothing. I was just by myself, a one-man team. And I'd arrive in PLDT. I was in PLDT at 5:30 in the morning. So all the security guards know me. I'd leave PLDT at around 9:30, 10 p.m. So by the time I'd get home, I'd be dead tired. Because I was a one-man team. I had to do everything. It was a new product, new business unit. And I'm glad to say I'm fortunate in the sense that I didn't let my boss down, Sean, my mentor and my boss. And we hit targets. The internet and future services category business unit grew slowly at first. 7 years ago, it became a $5 billion, $100 million business for PLD. And the flagship product, flagship business unit of PLD in 7 years. So that's what got me to technology. It's always been at the back of my mind. But I've always wanted to set up a business that's forward-looking, that's innovative. So I ended up, after PLDT, I went to Sun Cellular's head of marketing, vice president for marketing and product development. And then I went to PayMaya, 88DB, and then PayMaya, head of e-commerce. And then after PMI, I said, siguro I was able to save a bit of money and then to set up Reselly together with Jason.
Hi, this is Michael Waitz, and I'm the host of the Age of Tech podcast. Join me as I interview tech thought leaders, investors, and business founders across Asia to get the best insights on how they built their businesses from the ground up. Check out my new episodes every Wednesday at AsiaTechPodcast.com. All things Asia, all things tech.
Hi, this is Royce Aguilar from the Research Department at First Metric Securities and host of the Philippine Stock Market Weekly Podcast, featuring timely and relevant discussions on the Philippine stock market and economy in the hope of providing investing and trading guidance to Filipinos. New episodes every Tuesday, and as always, your future first.
God, look at this cute person listening to this podcast, oh.
Right? So cute, grabe. Good job to your parents, ha? By the way, this is Jam.
And this is Dabski. You like podcasts, right? Check ours out. We talk about...
Henry Cavill.
Oh, yeah.
Local music.
Overthrowing evil overlords.
Butts.
Space.
Witches.
Space witches.
Denial.
Cats.
Dogs.
Cats and dogs.
So if that floats your boat
or flies your spaceship,
check it out online and join us at Local Locus PH everywhere on social media.
Pwede rin wag kasi lately nakahanap kami ng kaaway.
Sorry, Podcast Network Asia.
When you finally made that decision to move from corporate to entrepreneurship, no? Some people, because they call it the golden handcuffs, parang you're getting such a good salary that sometimes you don't want anymore to leave because a 9-to-5 job with a steady salary, you're good. But you still made the decision to leave. What was that motivation that made you want to take that step back into entrepreneurship?
Well, actually, I was, in a sense, when Tencent and KKR invested into Voyager Innovations in PayMaya, Voyager Innovations, the holding company of PayMaya, they actually killed all the... There were four business units of Voyager. So the first one is PayMaya, the biggest one. And then you had marketing technology, MarTech. Then you had FinTech, headed by Lito Villanueva. And then you had e-commerce, headed by me. So The investors, Tencent and KKR, when they invested into PayMaya, they said, kill all the other business units, just retain PayMaya. Okay, so I had no choice. Okay.
External forces. External forces.
External forces, yeah. So that's it. I said, oh my gosh, I'm out of a job. I have two kids. I have to support my family. What the hell do I do now? So prayed about it. I said, God, is this, are you giving me a sign? Well, I had a little bit of savings. And of course, I had my redundancy pay from PayMaya. So I said, oh, maybe this is the time for me to set up to give it another shot, e-commerce another shot, another try. That's how Reselly started.
But I know that you said you had one network that came before Reselly, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
So the first business was one network. That's correct, no?
Yeah, one network. That's just in one network e-commerce. That was in 2015.
Okay. So this is what happened. This was your first business after going entrepreneurial. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So tell me a bit more about how you came up with it and how your previous work informed the creation of One Network.
Okay.
Or if it did in any way.
All right. So I was country manager of 88DB. And then Jason, my partner now in Reselly, was the CTO of the holding company. Okay. And that's where I met Jason in 88DB.
And Jason's listening right now. Jason, say hi to us here. Sabi niya, binabati ka rin dyan. Hi, Jordan. The other listeners.
Hi, Jason.
And sabi niya, thanks, RJ. Go, Mark. Ayan.
So, me and Jason became close. Okay. And then, same story as what happened in PayMaya, Voyager PayMaya. The mother company, which was a JobsDB, was bought by Seek.com, an Australian company. And they told, they told the founder of JobsDB to kill all the other business units, one of which was 88DB.
Dami patayan din sa inyo.
I was out of a job.
Dami patayan sa inyo.
Yung eh. So me and Jason were out of a job. So you're wondering, okay, maybe let's try setting up a business. We started off with a PowerPoint presentation, no minimum viable product. We'll say, sige, let's try. Gawa tayo ng PowerPoint presentation. Ano uso ngayon? This was 2014, December, fourth quarter December. parang e-commerce is growing very fast right now. So again, I think that's a trend. That's a future. So yeah, let's do something into e-commerce. And then Jason, okay, you're listening. Jason's a bit more of an MLM guy than I am. Okay, so Jason said, Mark, we need to raise funds for One Network e-commerce. What's the fastest way to raise funds? Investors, baka matagal pa yan. Since PowerPoint presentation, we don't even have an MVP, yung minimum viable product. MLM, sige, let's do MLM. And we, at the time, MLM wasn't too negative yet, right? People were still,
Yeah.
So we set up, we did an MLM system, PowerPoint, and then we tested it. We presented some people, and in one day, our first day of doing the presentation, you were able to raise almost 1 million pesos in one day. Actually, in 2 hours.
Wow.
So, we said,
So people, same thing, MLM, you bring them to the room, you talk to all of them.
Yeah. You bring them to the room, you excite them, you talk. This is the future of MLM, e-commerce, you can sell anything, blah, 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 blah. Wow, it's so easy, huh? Grab it, 2 hours long of talking and PowerPoint presentation. Almost 1 million kaagad, huh? Cash. I said, maybe we're onto something. Then the feedback we were getting. And then, tuloy, whenever we'd present to a room, we'd have at minimum 90% success rate. Success rate being, at the end of the room, 90% of those attend, pay, subscribe. Pay 3,000 pesos. So we used the money that we were able to collect, raise, to try to build a platform. Unfortunately, building an MLM platform on e-commerce is more complicated than we thought. And then, in MLM, you have to have a very nice office, fancy office. You got to have, spend in marketing and all that. So the money that we were able to raise, we were able to collect more than 60 million. Actually, after 2 years, we still didn't have a working platform, a working mobile app or e-commerce platform website. And that's the time that we started, having problems, cash flow problems. We weren't able to pay our employees. And then we had a life or death situation wherein we had to make a decision. Do we continue? I don't know if there are viewers out there who are entrepreneurs, but you always tell yourself, kaya pa, don't give up. Lang, we're already almost there. What made our decision to finally stop?
Yeah.
One was when it becomes very real, especially to your employees, your team members and your employees. If you decide to prolong it and there are delayed in salaries, you are also affecting their lives and their families because they are counting on you. So you have to look at yourself in the mirror and be very realistic. Yeah. So some of the hard questions we're asking ourselves, if we continue this, how long will it take and how much money will it still take to finish the platform, finish the development, et cetera, to make this fly? It just would take too long. And I don't think our team members or employees could have waited that long. So that's the time we decided to kill it. It's not an easy decision to make.
Yeah, because there are also people listening to us right now. Entrepreneurs like yourself. By the way, I just want to greet Victor Tan. Sabi niya, amazing story with your guest, RJ. Victor, also an amazing entrepreneur. I first met him in Go Negosyo. He's got some great stories about entrepreneurship, the successes and the failures as well. But yeah, how do you know, Mark? At what point do you know it's really time to pull the plug? Because it's not easy. I mean, we're always at that precipice. Diba? Many of us entrepreneurs that you don't know. And how do you make the decision? How do you discern that decision?
Prayers. And then, I don't know if this sounds corny, but if you truly pray, God answers your prayers. So at that point, I can't speak for Jason, but for myself, I was really praying, asking God whether I should continue or stop One Network. And he answered my prayer. And what was that prayer? A headhunter called me and said, Mark, give me a job offer for PayMaya to head e-commerce for Voyager PayMaya. And the salary was enough for me to pay to settle the salaries, the loans that we had, the salaries of our employees in one. So I took that as a sign. It's perfect. The money I'll get for my salary can pay off the money we owe for the salaries for team members, our employees, and hopefully, maybe there might be some synergies between PayMaya, since I headed e-commerce, and One Network.
One Network.
And One Network, which is e-commerce as well. Of course, nagpaalam muna ako sa boss ko, di ba? Mr. Doy Bea, Sir Doy Bea. yun. So that's how it happened. And then what happened? Yeah.
So you, what happened next? Very interesting story. What happened next?
So what happened next was the thesis I presented to my boss and to the management of Voyager was PayMaya is a wallet. It's an e-wallet. Now, an e-wallet, if you think of e-wallet as a physical wallet, the wallet is only as good as the money that you put in, right? So my thesis was, who are the companies or the e-wallet company? And this is my opinion, okay? My opinion. The e-wallet companies that will succeed. These are the e-wallets that have an ecosystem around it. Not just e-wallet for an e-wallet's sake, but they have a unique value proposition that solves a real pain point. I'll give a case in point. Alipay is an e-wallet, but it supports the Alibaba e-commerce ecosystem. Grab has their own wallet, which is GrabPay, but that's not their core business. Their core business is transportation, shared transportation, and it supports that ecosystem. So my thesis was, it's going to be very difficult for PayMaya as a standalone e-wallet to thrive unless you build an ecosystem around it. And what's that ecosystem I was proposing? A livelihood e-commerce platform that will put money into the PayMaya wallet. And that was the genesis or the start of Recently.
But while you were still working for PayMaya, when you were you had the idea in PayMaya.
Yeah, and with the blessing of my boss, blessing of management, said, okay, Mark, we agree with you. Say, start building that livelihood, livelihood app tied into PayMaya's e-wallet so that to feed into it, right? So we started building it. We were this close to launching it, like just a few months. We have launched it, and then Tencent KKR came in and said, and killed it. Okay, all other business units killed. Let's kill it. Let's just focus on PayMaya. That's how I said, wow, what a waste. Everything was there already. And let's continue it. Jason, let's continue it. Let's set up Recently. It works. It's been validated. So that's how Recently was born.
So one network had to close down. Is that right?
Yes.
And then
I joined Voyager Innovations, head of e-commerce.
Then eventually you put up Recently because you didn't want all the hard work to go to waste.
Yes. And it was validated also.
The model's validated. Okay.
Yes.
Interesting. I just have a question. I hope you don't mind me asking. But of course, closing down companies is a very difficult thing for anybody to do, especially an entrepreneur. And especially when you get investors, how did you have to handle? I mean, that must have been quite. What did you learn about? Because you had to close down the company, you had to deal with maybe some investors who weren't too happy with the decision, and some irate people. What learnings did you get from all that one? I want to know.
The most important learning is relationships. Like what I said, more than the money, it's about trust and relationships. That shows your true character. Of course, pray. I've always repeated this, which is prayer. Putting your faith in God, but. After that, it's really ensuring that you always think outside of yourself. You think of the other person first. Mm-hmm. So that was a lesson that I had to learn the hard way. So of course, I was we're going to close down. And then I became defensive. The employees were, filed the case in SSS. And then I got hurt. Wow. Oh my gosh. I've worked so hard for you guys to make sure that you guys are paid. I'm doing my best. So I was personally hurt. So, and then I prayed about it. And I reached out to them, I apologized, and I said, hey guys, it's not easy. I hope you appreciate that I'm really working hard, so hard. If I said some bad words or harsh words, I apologize for that. But rest assured, and I need you to trust me, that I'm doing my best to ensure that you guys get paid. Because at the end of the day, why are we in this world, really? And I was a bit philosophical also at that point. And fortunately for me, they forgave me. And they trusted me. They withdrew the case in SSS. And we're still friends up to now. With most of them. Most of the members and employees.
Jason DeLarosa, your partner, is saying up to now, those relationships are actually still intact. That's great to hear. But this is the more interesting thing I want to ask. Kayo ni Jason, intact pa rin kayo? Di ba kayo nag-away yung time na yan? I mean, I'm just asking because at the start, of course, things were rough at the time when you put up one network. How did you and Jason
manage
as well?
Yeah, in any relationship, whether it be marriage, personal, or business, you, there will be some friction, of course. Yeah. But always, the most important thing talaga is that you always have to forgive because nobody's perfect. I'm far from perfect, okay? So I've done a lot of bad things, wrong things that Jason knows about, that Jason has also done a few things also that, you know, but the most important thing is that you guys talk about it, you're transparent, you're honest, and then you forgive each other and you guys move on.
Okay.
Especially in business. Come on, it's just money. I mean, it's more important if it's a marriage and you're not just talking about money, right?
Sabi ni Jason dito. And for people listening right now, Jason and I are good friends because I helped him. We helped grow Bounce Back Official. So Bounce Back is really Jason De La Rosa. I'm just one of his co-pilots over there. Bromance lasts forever, according to Jason De La Rosa. Thanks so much, Jason. So what I want to know right now is, okay, you were able to pull out Reselli, Lock, Stock, and Barrel from PMaya. There was no, because usually, the when you take a company, when you develop the concept within the company, you have to pay them some sort of, you know, you use the resources, right, to develop it. So were they just happy to give it to you and then you took it out?
No, we had to develop it from scratch. What I asked permission from my boss was, Sir Doy, was the concept. If I could, when I leave PayMaya, can I set up my own company using the similar concept to what was developed? But all the software, all the development, I did not take that. That's with PayMaya. I still with them. I hope they didn't delete it, but they probably erased it already.
One of these days, you never know.
Yeah. So, in fact, in PMI, it was called Digisoria. We even did Digisoria. A market research study. Digisoria. Because it's like having your own Digisoria on your mobile phone with zero capital, zero puhunan needed.
Okay. So, interesting. So, you set this up top. Now, how did the lessons that you learned from One Network, the lessons that you learned from PayMaya, and the failures that you had, how did it inform how you redevelop Reselli now?
With One Network, I think one of our failures was the tech side. We were too ambitious with our plans on the tech that it took forever. Actually, we never finished the tech platform. We never finished the website, the platform, the mobile app, or anything. Just spent too much money on it. Number two is after the tech, making sure that you have a product that works. Maybe the second lesson that we have was savings. When you're a startup, you have to be very conscious about your cash flow. So right now, if you look at Reselli, we're very conscious about how much we spend. More than 60% of the money for operating expenses actually goes to the dev team, to IT and our dev team. That's how serious we are. Being traumatized about what happened in One Network, you said we got to invest in our tech team, in our development, you know, making sure we have a fantastic world-class mobile app and platform. Third is the team. People, you know, at the end of the day, I'm a marketing person for the last 15 years. So they teach us about the 4 P's, product, pricing, placement, and positioning. The fifth one is people, you know, persons. They're what makes the company run. So maybe this is the most important lesson. You always have to be transparent and you have to trust, you know, people around you and be very, very transparent and honest with them. And try to be inspiring. You have to give them a mission or a vision, a cause for them to work hard. And we're fortunate that the vision of Reselli is, in my mind, inspiring. I mean, where can you work for a company? It's inspiring even for me. Where can you work for a company wherein you're helping other people, you know, especially the poor with our zero puhunan livelihood? If that's not inspiring enough, I don't know what it is. So
when you started Reselli, were you bootstrapping? Were you using money out of your own pocket to start this one? Because I'm sure I didn't think you want to go back to the MLM model that you used from One Network and use it for Reselli.
A bit of bootstrapping, and then Jason, to his credit, was able to get some early investors. You know,
wow, so, okay, ka Jason, huh? Jason, let's talk again, Jason.
That helped jumpstart Reselli a bit until we brought in the Chinese investors, you know, Mintek and Hong.
Okay. How long were you sort of like bootstrapping until you were able to bring in your Chinese investors into the company? You said you restarted this in 2014, right? 2015. So that's about
That's for One. With Reselli, we only One Network. One Network we closed down last 2017.
Okay.
For Reselli, we started it, me and Jason. I left PayMaya April 2019. Mm-hmm. And then we started Reselli around June. So Jason was able to raise a few million pesos from his network. And then we started development around June. Then we closed our first round, which is around 10 million pesos from Mintek in October. And then we will close the balance around 35 million, 40 million last September. Total of 1 million, which brings to the $1 million dollar investment.
Well, amazing. And having said that, I mean, sometimes you've raised money, no? But syempre, the thing that makes many entrepreneurs, I guess I'll say, pissed in their pants is that, you know, you really don't know when it's going to work, right? Sometimes you're going, okay, I know it's going to work conceptually. It makes sense. Was there a point when you started running it and, you know, you're getting money, you're going, it might not work, you know? We entrepreneurs have those sleepless nights where they go, okay, but all my work is for naught. No? Did that happen to you as you were developing research?
Oh, yeah, definitely, all the time. That's it about being an entrepreneur. You never know when your next big idea will, when that pivot will come that will drive your business. I'll share a story, okay? Tesla. Have you heard of Tesla, the cars?
Of course, Elon Musk. Yep, yep.
Did you know that he was a few months away from selling out to Google? Giving up on Tesla and selling majority to Google. So this was November, 1 month before Christmas. He didn't have enough payroll anymore. I mean, he didn't have enough money for payroll for Christmas. So this is in his biography, by the way. If you guys want to read it, it's there. So he called up Sergey Brin of Google and said, "Hey, Sergey, are you interested in investing in Tesla?" Then Sergey Brin said, "Yeah, sure, but as long as it's majority controlling, okay, let me think about it and I'll get back to you." And then a few days later, he called up, he did a town hall, called all these key employees, and told them, "Guys, we don't have money for Christmas, okay? We don't have payroll. In a few months, we might have to sell out, either close down Tesla or get Google as an investor to own majority. So what do we do?" So the brainstorming session, guess what they did? One of the brainstorming sessions, one of the employees suggested, "Hey, why don't we sell the cars, pre-sell, pre-sell the cars?" So they did. So they made some sexy videos, you know, etc., marketing materials. Then each employee was required to sell at least one Tesla car. Boom. Fantastic. As in pre-selling, more than 5,000 units of Tesla sold, pre-sold, more than enough to last them for, runway for 1 year. They never had to sell to Google. So that's it. You just have to be very creative about, how you pivot and how you raise cash. In Tesla's case, they asked their employees to sell, and it validated that, a lot of people want their electric vehicles. It was sexy. It was, environmentally friendly, et cetera, et cetera. So same thing also with Reselli. We had a lot of instances wherein we, especially when the investments were delayed. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, how are we going to raise cash? So you just have to be creative about it and keep on pivoting until. And the pandemic was a blessing to Reselli because before the pandemic, a lot of investors are like 50-50 about Reselli. They were like, "Are you sure about, And then pandemic came in, hit, and, e-commerce grew. The e-commerce industry grew. And social e-commerce in particular, not just in the Philippines, but around Southeast Asia, grew exponentially. So it kind of validated also what we were doing.
So in other words, the pandemic was really a silver lining for you guys. It really, it actually accelerated the growth of Reselli.
Yes.
Well, fantastic. So if this didn't happen, if the pandemic didn't happen, what do you think would have happened to Reselli right now? What would be its velocity right now?
Its trajectory. It probably wouldn't grow as fast. It would still grow because, it's social e-commerce, it's e-commerce, but not as fast.
Okay. And having said that, okay, so it's growing right now. What do you see Reselli over the next 1 to 2 years? Where do you see it taking it?
Okay, if you were to do a comparative chart, Reselli versus, compared to other social e-commerce startups across Southeast Asia. Let's take in point, Ula. Ula is a social e-commerce startup in Vietnam. Tellyo, a social e-commerce startup in Vietnam. This is press release, it's public information. They have around 3,000 plus resellers or agents focused on FMCG. Mm-hmm. And they were able to close a few months ago a $25 million investment from Sequoia, Golden Gate, and Lightspeed at the valuation of $100 million with only 3,000 resellers or agents. Ula in Indonesia launched just January, actually soft launch. They just have a beta version. They're able to close last July, just a few months ago, a $10.5 million investment from Sequoia, Golden Gate, and another investor at a valuation of around $30-40 million with less than 1,000 resellers. They're not even commercially launched yet. And I can go on. So there are Indonesia has a number of social e-commerce startups. Telyo, Vietnam only has two, which is Telyo and another one. Philippines recently is the only, we're the pioneer when it comes to social e-commerce here in the Philippines. So we currently have more than 40,000 resellers. Our target is to do Series A by third, fourth quarter next year at a, compared to Telyo, probably valuation. If we're lucky, if we hit our targets, $150 to $200 million valuation, maybe raise at $20 million.
Wow.
But more importantly, that's on the investment side. But on the more importantly, we hope to help at least 1 million Filipinos earn a sustainable livelihood through our online Zero Puhunan mobile app by next year, by end of next year. So the way we do that, we have partnerships with celebrities, with the government, DSWD, we've signed with Secretary Bautista, making Reselli the official livelihood partner of the Philippine government. We're signing with the Department of Agrarian Reform, Department of Agriculture. We're signing with the Magsasaka Party List here, Congressman Argel, just to show you that we're very focused on fruits and vegetables. That's one of our unique competitive advantages.
I guess over time, I'm just really refining. And the fruits and vegetables is that, there was no need to actually reinvent the wheel. If it worked for Pinduoduo, then it works here as well. So, no need to go far for innovation. You can look outside and get the best of what you see outside.
Although it's easier said than done. Exactly. There are just so many. agriculture in the Philippines is, it's not as modern as, agri-tech in the Philippines is still at its infancy stages, which makes it a very big challenge, but also a very big opportunity.
Exactly. And Mark, having said all that, this has been a truly enlightening session for many, but for many people over here. I mean, this is one of the times people get to see the entrepreneurial journey from corporate to business to failing in business to going back into corporate and finally succeeding and scaling up. And there's a lot of lessons that you've shared with us over here. But even there are about 2 to 3 key takeaways that you want to share with up and coming entrepreneurs who are trying to, who are in the same page. You know how it's like for us, Should I start off? I'm about to fail. What is your advice for them?
Prayer. You trust in God. You talk to Him. He's your Father. He will never let you down. What you see, what you perceive as failures now, is actually, if you trust in Him and you put, you offer it to Him, everything that you're doing, even your failures, you will look back and you will say, it wasn't a failure. God was guiding me towards a particular direction, which is actually better for me. So prayer is number one. Number two is nothing replaces hard work. I think my biggest successes in my life personally was when I was working the hardest. And then number three, my third takeaway is relationships. At the end of the day, business, if you think about it, why do you set up a business? One of the key reasons is really to earn money, right? It's all about, money. Then you have, many people have different, purposes, to support their family, to buy a nice house, to live a comfortable life. But then if it's money. So if you can discover what your purpose, why are you setting up that business? What is it in you that the business completes or, completes in you or define, helps you define or find your identity, then it will give you the spirit, it will give you the passion to continue on despite many challenges and obstacles and perseverance. And you'll discover a lot about yourself. And maybe one last takeaway is the true character of a person is tested during adversity and circumstances. And this I can share with you from personal experience. Okay? Normally, it can make a person great or it can bring out the worst in a person. And with One Network, it brought out the worst in me. Okay, so my temper, I was blaming, pointing fingers, blaming everybody when it should have been me as the president. So when you find yourself in instances wherein you're so stressed, there's no light at the end of the tunnel, pray first, number one. And then number two, importantly, is you look at never destroy relationships. You always take a deep breath and say, what can I do so that I preserve the relationship, so that we find a solution. Don't make it about yourself to this problem. And that's it. Those are the key takeaways.
Thanks a lot, Mark. And talking about relationships, we're actually building a relationship as well here with Reselli and Mercato Central. Mark, I leave you to share the good news about Reselli and Mercato.
Yeah, thanks, RJ. So Reselli and Mercato, we signed an agreement. We've partnered. We're in. We are also Reselli in a position to help the member restaurant chefs of Mercato and sell their products, their food and other products on Reselli's platform and vice versa as well. We hope to be able to supply also the fruits and vegetables of
We would love that. Mercato. We would love that. Yeah. So the same thing. That's what I like about throughout the whole talk, I've been contemplating. We've gotten together and understand Reselli from a professional standpoint. I get to see how it works together synergistically, but even from a value standpoint, because for me, Mercato is really all about being a small food business incubator. We help small food businesses grow. We help provide more livelihood. And I like the idea that here I'm able to extend or to further incubate and help my vendors through the Reselli platform and vice versa. We're very glad that Reselli can help, can also bring in their fruits and vegetables to help my small food vendors as well in Mercato grow their businesses. So again, looking forward to a great partnership with you guys and together with Jason as we grow the business. We could all use, we could all hold hands and make sure that, we help more people survive and thrive amidst this crisis.
Yeah, thank you very much, RJ. Thank you for inviting me to your show.
Okay. Again, thanks so much. That has been another episode of the RJ Ledesma podcast. Again, if there's any business personality or entrepreneur that you would like me to interview on the podcast, please let me know. Drop me a message. Again, thanks so much, Mark Concho, president and co-founder of Reselli. Again, check out the Reselli app right now. Mark, where can you download the Reselli app?
On Google Play Store, and then by next 2 weeks, it will be on iOS as well.
Perfect. Again, thanks so much. This has been RJ Ledesma for the RJ Ledesma podcast. Please enjoy the rest of your evening. Thanks so much.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.